Imagine the softest sheets you've ever felt. Now imagine them getting even softer over time. That's what you'll feel with Boll & Branch's organic cotton sheets. In a recent customer survey, 96% replied that Boll & Branch sheets get softer with every wash. Start getting your best night's sleep in these sheets that get softer and softer for years to come. Try their sheets with a 30-night guarantee. Plus, get 15% off your first order at bollandbranch.com. Code BUTTERY. Exclusions apply. See site for details.
There's never been a faster or easier way to start your weight loss journey than with PlushCare. PlushCare accepts most insurance plans and gives you online access to board-certified physicians who can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Take charge of your health and speak with a board-certified physician about a weight loss plan that's right for you. Get started today at PlushCare.com/weightloss. That's PlushCare.com/weightloss. PlushCare.com/weightloss.
Will we give a quick disclaimer just to say that we've had to resort to Skype again because we haven't resolved our issue with our software?
We haven't.
So please enjoy. The quality is going to be 10 out of 10. It is probably going to sound like you're eavesdropping on your mom and your auntie. They're having a conversation downstairs. But that's okay. That's fine. The quality will be, in terms of content, the quality will just be chef's kiss. And we will sort our software struggles for next week. We have tried, haven't we, Emma? We've sent the emails. We've applied the feedback.
I know. Oh, fuck's sake. We've got to go back to the token of phones. It's the only way.
Yeah, I mean, there's nothing for it, Emma. We're going to have to watch a YouTube video now. I'm sorry.
Oh, speaking of YouTube, you know my, remember the person I said to you about ages ago without a crystal ball? Remember the YouTuber? She now has 120,000 YouTube followers and she's knocking it out of the park. She's whacking up like 3 videos a day about all the celeb goss and news. And she's been covering the likes of, like, you know, Britney and Kanye and, you know, that couple that adopted the baby and then rehomed the baby. Basically put the child up for adoption again.
Where was that now?
In America. So they adopted a child from China.
Oh, yes. I did hear.
Yeah, she's all over that as well, so.
Oh, I'd love a bit of that now. You know what? Because I the way I have the diabetes, so I shouldn't be admitting this on air, but I do have one last chocolate biscuit left. So I'm just going to have that and then we're starting the diabetes thing tomorrow. But I'm going to go watch that one now about the adoptive parents because I just, it's mad.
Up to 90, up to 90.
Moment, I feel there's so many of those stories because I was looking at doing that one. Do you remember we talked about it? The couple in America, they're always in America, aren't they? Like they're never in any other country. But the couple in America, do you remember they adopted the little girl and then it turned out they claimed that she was actually a woman? Yes.
Yeah, and she was. Sure, we saw her on Dr. Phil. She was completely a fucking woman.
Yeah, well, she was, I know, because even now when he was saying, like, Dr. Phil was like, how old are you? And she was saying, I'm 21. And Dr. Phil was like, really? But, yeah, so so what was I banging on about? I was reading up on that one. And then last week, I was reading up about all the, you know, the poor surrogate babies that have been left stranded in the Ukraine because of the lockdown.
Oh, okay. No, I hadn't heard about this.
So I couldn't get over the numbers. I can't remember now the number off the top of my head, but I had read about this before. And then there was a really good article last week in The Guardian. I know when I say The Guardian, I usually mean the Daily Mail, but in this case, it actually was The Guardian. But it was legit, okay? But they were talking about, obviously, you know, with the border being closed. So all these poor surrogate mothers have given birth. And the babies are being kept in this hotel. And 80% of them, of course, have foreign parents. So they're just there with the nurses. And the parents are just speaking to the babies on FaceTime and all this kind of thing. And then there's now a campaign at the moment, because with the lockdown, especially a lot of people have been saying, look, maybe we need to look again at this industry. And yeah. then the Minister for Children in the Ukraine was saying, well, probably the biggest issue with the foreign adoptions is you will be amazed the amount of times that the parents decide they're not going to take the baby. So then you have women who probably have gotten into this for economic reasons, who, you know, are living in poverty. A lot of the time they feel they have to take the baby and otherwise the baby goes to an orphanage. And I was like, God, I never would have thought that that would have been such an issue. Because, you know, when a couple goes through the whole process of surrogacy, it's no easy undertaking. And then at the final hurdle, there's some issue, whether it's, you know, kind of an aesthetic defect or something. And they say, no, we're not taking the baby. Isn't it really hard to comprehend that?
I can't even wrap my head around it. You're one without a crystal ball. I keep wanting to say
so this is a similar story then. Was this about the little girl and they claimed he didn't really fit in with the family or something?
Yeah, it didn't really fit in, and that they were aware of his medical needs and like the difficulties that he would have, but they weren't made aware of all of it. So she was saying there most recently, an interesting point was that, so they found another home for him. So they readopted him or whatever, but they did it through. They did it privately because she said if you surrender your child through the legal way or like the proper way, which you should, that means that you automatically get investigated, obviously, because it's your child and you're surrendering your child.
So they went
the private route to try and avoid being investigated. But I think they now are subsequently getting investigated. But people's main problem with them was that before they adopted their son, they were trying to do various things on YouTube and they kind of like a very modest following. And then they started sharing the whole adoption process.
Yes.
He was like, you know, they were putting him up on their YouTube every day and they started getting, you know, they had like, I don't know, I think it was like 500,000 followers.
So they were their little money maker.
They had the ads and they had loads of sponsorships or whatever. And then they explained where had he been. I think after they had rehomed him, like a couple of weeks after, they were having this like big old family holiday off in Dubai or something. They're like, oh, trip of a lifetime and all of this. So like they obviously didn't spend that much time kind of like grieving or whatever.
Yeah.
And then what they did was it kind of came out with the story that he was no longer with them, but he was much better off with the new family that he was with. And then there was this huge backlash. So they just deleted all the content with him in it and kind of tried to carry on as if like nothing happened.
God.
So there's a lot of questions about like those family YouTubers, you know what I mean? Who
most of them are really questionable, aren't they?
I think many of them may have started out like with good intentions, but like I know, like say Joe when he was younger would have watched Ryan's toy review, and so the kid. Say he started this channel when he was like 3 and he has like in the millions upon millions of followers.
Yeah, I've heard this little fella.
And he's like unboxing and playing with toys every single day. And then they start saying, oh no, like we donate all the stuff to charity, which is even strange that he's getting new stuff basically every day. And so he probably doesn't even notice that it's gone, or, you know, it's just weird. But he now has twin sisters who I think the last time I saw they were babies, but the twin sisters are probably like 2 or 3. And he's he's a lot older now. Like he's probably you know, 8 or 9. So he's kind of probably starting to outgrow this whole, you know, he probably just wants to be like gaming or whatever. But no, I don't know. I haven't watched it in a while. So a listener may correct me on that one. But like, seems like a lovely little kid, but definitely you could see it evolve.
It's a,
like,
bit, of, it's a bit of a modern day Shirley Temple situation, isn't it?
Oh, yeah. You could see the gaff. Like, you could see the gaff. Like, oh, they've moved house into a substantial gaff and the parents gave up their jobs and this was now like their full-time gig or whatever, which is kind of odd. Like, do you remember the way Macaulay Culkin would have said that thing of feeling like you're the breadwinner?
Yes, yeah. I know. And I mean, that's, it's actually, you know, you look back at the Home Alones and stuff and you do, no more than we were talking about Corey Feldman or Feldman. I don't know if we confirmed the other night. On the extra episode we were talking about him, but
there really is no way to find out. I mean, that's the problem with these things.
If only there was access.
Search. Yeah.
If only we can dream, but
should have kept those phone books, I reckon.
But you do come back to, I mean, I think particularly it's such an obvious one, but the first Home Alone, and you just look at this little man and you think, oh God, I mean, he really was like kind of the family workhorse as such. I know they tried to get Kieran involved, but I don't know, was Kieran in anything before Succession? Like, where was Kieran? I love him in Succession. But what has he been doing? Like, what's this? Was he in other bits and bobs? He must have been.
I mean, we did see him on the red carpet the odd time with Mac.
Well, now, to be fair, who is the time to say Macaulay? Like, if you had a Macaulay in your family, you'd be calling him Mac as well.
I don't think I'd have the audacity to call a child Macaulay.
But the Americans do.
Center, don't they?
Yeah, the Americans like to use a surname as a first name because that's how they roll. So a lot of Taylors, a lot of Kennedys, a lot of Macaulays, that kind of thing.
Whatever, guys.
I'm going to go off and watch that story now about that poor little boy. And yeah, it's crazy. I mean, that story as well about the couple who adopted the little girl, the bit that always struck me was, do you remember, you see, that was a private adoption as well. And to be honest, there were so many red flags with that. Like, it sounded like kind of almost like, you know, you're buying, I don't know, a playmat off Dundeel and you're like, I'll meet you in the little car park. So they met this couple who had this little girl. And basically, they just signed on the dotted line, like, in the car park, which you're like, okay, come on, like, surely there's some red flags, and literally had signed the contract. And then the girl, I think she'd been in a wheelchair, and she just ran over to the car. And they were like, what? But the bit that stuck with me was when the mom there, and to be honest, that whole story, I think on both sides, it's all very fishy, having watched the Dr. Phil, but then when the mom was giving her a bath, do you remember that bit about her pubic hair floating in the water? She was like, this child can't be 6.
Oh.
It just, it always, even as I was watching the Dr. Phil, I just kept thinking about that bit. I was like, oh my God, imagine if you'd adopted a 6-year-old and she's got this big bush.
But you're obsessed with pubes.
Am I obsessed with pubes?
Yeah, you have an unhealthy fixation about pubes. I don't know whether it's an erotic thing for you or what it is, but I mean, I think you bring up pubes at least 4 or 5 times a day.
Pubes and EpiPens. They're my two things.
EpiPens.
I do have an unhealthy satisfaction with both. But yeah, and sure.
I don't know where it comes from. Oh, Tommy and Joe are coming in. Oh no, they're gone.
Come here to me. Did you see?
Yeah. Go on, what were you gonna say? Sorry.
I was gonna say, did you see Kanye? His big news. I think I can gauge it from the fact that you're literally snoring down the phone as I bring up this topic.
He's doing, like, okay, if we're going to look at this, like, you know, like it was a real thing or whatever, hasn't he missed the boat on doing it, like? Isn't it a bit late?
It's a bit late in the day, isn't it, Kanye?
I mean, yeah. I mean, I can't judge someone for timekeeping because I wouldn't be the best. But I reckon he's a bit late to kind of even get in the running. He would have had to start, like, 2019 minimum, I would have thought.
Well, I did say this to my auntie today, but she informed me that that's not the case, that you can still enter at this stage. So who's to
but say? Has he not missed out on... I don't know how it works. I know, like, I'm making it sound like ice skating, but has he not missed out for qualifying for some states or something?
I did see something about that.
I obviously don't really have a clue, which seems very different to the setup in Ireland. But don't you? Isn't it the kind of thing where you qualify in different states and different areas?
Yeah. So you'd wonder. I'm just looking up here. Can Kanye run for president? Could he affect the outcome? So, he's okay. So we're just opening up there. I think it says so. Could he run for president? Experts say he can technically join the race, but it won't be easy, and it'll cost a lot of money to win a few votes. But right, I mean, that doesn't sound too. But I thought, you know, what I loved.
Wow.
I loved, my favourite bit about the whole thing was Kim's response. You know, you can tell now, Kanye gets up and he's like, I'm running for president. She's like, here we fucking go. And she has to, because she's his missus. So she obviously has to retweet it. Like, if she's not retweeting, who is? So she puts up an American flag, which I just think is so brilliant. It reminds me of, like, when Fred says to me, I think I'm going to break America. I think I'm actually going to, now is the time for me to go and just do some shows in America. And you have to say, oh, do you know what? I think that'll be amazing. Your timing is brilliant. Whilst simultaneously burning his passport. Like, you have to do the superficial, I'm being supportive, but really, well, like, come on.
I mean, her sharing an American flag, she basically just gave Kanye a fucking thumbs up, didn't she? End of conversation.
I mean, thumbs it's so I wouldn't even say passive aggressive, but it's so disinterested. It's like, oh, okay, I'll give you one emoji.
She's just like, could you watch the kids for 10 minutes while I do my makeup in the jacks? I'm trying to do a video here.
Like, that's, honestly, like, I just...
Please, more distractions. Do you need more distractions?
Oh, honestly,
I put nuggets and waffles in the air fryer. I'm going to put my makeup on. Can you take it from there now? Because I just want to fucking put a bit of lippy on.
But you...
I'm putting on my eyeliner, my liquid fucking eyeliner with North pulling at my arm. And he stabbed himself in the eye the last time.
Do you know what? Kim should be running for president, because anyone who can still get that eyeliner wing on fleek with North hanging off yet, and the other three. I mean, honestly, she should be running for president. Like, let's get real.
No, I mean, this is just...
But you see, it's interesting because, I mean, look, he is
because it's already an absolute shit show. So they might as well have him as their
it is
big win. Do you know what I mean? I don't like yeah, go on. Because I don't
is, it go is a for lot life. Yeah, it's a lot of pantomime, isn't it? Like, as you say, they may as well have Kanye run at this stage.
But it's more exciting to watch a blaze rather than a slow burn, isn't it?
Oh yeah, like, I mean, you want a bit of petrol or something on that, don't you? Mm-hmm. And Kanye's definitely the petrol. And I do think, imagine now Donald's response when you're, I mean, Biden, I'd say they've had to remind Biden like probably four times the last 24 hours that Kanye has entered the race. Each time he's as equally surprised.
Like, I wouldn't be surprised if he ends up getting, I mean, like, they do have a history of kind of electing fictional characters.
Donald Trump, people didn't think he was going to get elected.
But they essentially just elected the character that he played in The Apprentice. They elected Ronald Reagan, movie star, character. You know what I mean?
I mean, I kind of, I mean, at the risk of sounding like a lunatic, I mean, I could see why people, when faced with Biden and Donald Trump, would vote for Kanye.
I know, but I think they seem to vote for their president in the way that we should. Like, our president doesn't have any power. Do you know what I mean? They're just a meat grater. So we should give Gabriel Byrne a go in the office, or, like, you know what I mean? Martin King would be great. But, like, he'd be great at welcoming people in the airport. It's got a fucking lot.
He'd be great in areas.
But, so, we...
Have you got your jacket?
Dublin accent is so appalling. I'm like, have you ever met anyone from Dublin? It's just like, it's so gas. Well,
but every now and again, I come out with an Emma phrase. And people are like, no. I mean, Emma can pull it off, but absolutely not you.
What happens is, you know, if you're talking to somebody a good bit, you do start picking up.
Off. They're like, Julie, stop.
I don't say that.
It's Emma's language. No. I'm trying to think.
Fuck off.
Or do you know what's really pissing me off? No, that's your line.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Do you know what's really pissing me off? But you know what I mean? We could have mad presidents and it would be a bit of a laugh. But, like, in America, they are one of the most powerful people in the world. So it is a little bit worrying. Well, Sherlock.
Yeah, you see, well, this is why we can have the chokey. You know, we can have the chokey candidates, as you say.
We have the candidates, but the jokey person never really gets elected.
Well, you know, you have someone like Dana who lectures, you know, she's lecturing a neuroscientist on the science of the brain. Like, you have these kind of, like, outlandish people running for president, and everyone's like, should leave them off. What's the harm? I mean, look, even if they got in, they'd do sweet fuck all anyway. I mean, it's a really inoffensive position.
Yeah, so I don't know what they're playing at, but I'd say Kim is just, do you know what I mean?
I'd say Kim's eyes are just glued to the ceiling now at this stage. The eye rolling has just taken, it's gone next level.
I say she has gone and she's got the pregnancy pillow out of the top of the wardrobe and she's just sleeping with that now. And he's like, why are you sleeping with that? She's like, because I am. Because that's what's happening now. What did you think?
You should see me with my pregnancy pillow. I just don't need anyone else in my life. I feel like it shouldn't even be called a pregnancy pillow. I think it should just be called a company pillow, because there were so many times in my life that I needed this.
I know, but then it gets to the stage of, like, you can't look at the fucking thing and you're like, get it out, because it just takes up so much fucking room. I swear to God, like, I must have thrown mine in one of the fucking many unce bonfires I had out the back.
Well, look, Fred.
Looking at the fucking thing, like the pregnancy pillow, that is.
I am. Poor old Fred often gets kicked out in the middle of the night.
Oh my God.
We have a second bedroom. Well, what I do is.
Handy for a baby.
Very handy for the baby. But I mean, well, do you know what now, Kit? I wouldn't say I kick him out, because what we do is I, like, obviously, like, you know, so we'd be kind of sleeping lightly. A light sleeper and I get up about five times a night to go for a wee and all that. So we take it in turns that I'll go to the other room or he'll go to the other room. But, like, he did say the other day, it does feel like there are three of us in this marriage. And he was referring to my ginormous pregnancy pillow. Because it is like having another person in the bed, isn't it?
Yeah, especially, like, if it's a warm evening, or it's just, it takes up a lot of room, but, like, it is a vital piece of kit. I want to ask you something now, because you are you're a country woman, okay, so you might know about this.
But anyway, go on.
So during lockdown, I got a WhatsApp message or something about a milkman delivering in my area. So I was like, you know, I'm going to get that, because...
Is this one of these WhatsApps where you click in about a milkman delivering in your area and it's just a huge cock?
No, I haven't gotten one of them in ages, actually. I don't know why.
Where have they gone? Please bring them back.
I hope the person who was making them didn't get COVID, because they've totally disappeared. It was like every like other day, it was incessant, but they've just totally disappeared. I don't know what's going on. But no, it was some like someone in the area sent me a WhatsApp message, and it was like this milkman thing. And I was like, do you know what? I'm going to sign up for that, actually, because it will reduce my trips to the shop. So I signed up for this thing, getting the milk, and you can get eggs. So the first time, obviously, I got eggs. I got milk, I got fucking yogurt, I got yops, I got butter, I fucking went hell for leather on the whole thing. So then I was like, okay, scale it back. So I just kept at the eggs and the milk twice a week. Now, here is the problem. The milk person, okay, I'm not going to gender specify, okay, 2020. The milk person leaves the milk on the windowsill. So on a Monday morning, there's 2 liters of milk, and there is a dozen eggs, and the pesky birds are cracking into the eggs. They're picking their way through the box and they're getting into the eggs. So a couple of times came out and like they'd hacked into one egg or they'd hacked into 2 eggs. Then on Friday, all the eggs were fucked on the ground. Right. So then last night, what we did was I had a plastic bucket. And I wrote on the bucket, can you use this for the eggs, please, to cover them? Now, we didn't use the bucket, but I woke up at 5 o'clock in the morning and I could hear the birds, the fox. So I went out at 5 o'clock in the morning and rescued the eggs. They'd gotten through the cardboard. They hadn't gotten into a shell. So I just got it in the nick of time. What am I going to do about this, Julie?
Well, I think the only solution is to do a Phoebe's cat. A Phoebe, do you remember when Phoebe and Friends had the cat boyfriend and he just shot the bird? I think that's your only option now.
I think so.
Well, I think it was a reasonable request to ask milk person, because again, we don't want to gender specify. Even though it does have all the markings of a male. Like, let's just be honest here. You've clearly left a note and a bucket. Like, it's fairly self-explanatory, but okay, might not be a male. We don't alienate our 3 male listeners. I mean, yeah, like,
he or she would have had to have walked over the bucket, like, would have had to have leaned over the bucket. Like, it wasn't a gigantic bucket.
And I'm sure the note was, I mean, we're not talking like a small note. I imagine it was fairly visible.
Well, it was very windy last night, so the note was written on the side.
Oh, okay. So justice for milk person. Okay, because that little detail now has changed the whole shape of the story. So what you need to do there, you need an A4 sheet.
Could he not see, could he or she not see the shells that were fucked there from Friday?
On Friday,
they just went, fuck it, it's the end of the week, and they took the absolute piss and they just smashed them. I don't even think they started pecking into them. Like, they literally just smashed them.
Yeah, the birds are very, I mean, I don't know, like, maybe it's just the symbolism of the eggs. They all find that hugely offensive.
That's what it is. Oh God, I'm so incensed.
Well, why don't you get, you know, the little, it's very.
Those plastic containers that everyone used to have back in the day with the little hands?
You just took the birds out of my mouth.
Premier Dairy or some shit like that.
How many eggs are you getting? 12.
On Monday we're getting 12, on a Friday we're getting 6.
Okay. So you're all about the gains. In the Doran household, you're all about the gains.
Yeah, well, we'd have pancakes. Ella would have pancakes 3 times a week. She'd have the banana pancake. Boys would have pancakes at least once a week. Shane fairly lashes into the eggs. We'd have quiches. We'd have omelets. We'd have salad.
Well, yeah. No, I should have foreseen that you go through your egg dishes there, but we also consume a lot of eggs. Our running joke in this house is, for the first 6 months of our relationship. No, not a competition. For the first 6 months of our relationship, Fred would always say, "Will I make you an egg omelette?" And I'd be like, oh, yeah, great. And then 6 months in, you know, when you're comfortable enough to kind of let the niceness slide, I just turned around to him one day. I was like, "Fred, there's only one type of omelette. They're all egg omelettes, Fred." We had a good laugh about it. So now he does the whole thing. I'd say every second day he asks if I want an egg omelette. It's like a running joke. So we do like our eggs. But what I'll send you is I have a ceramic egg holder. And I'm not saying it's not probably not, you know, it's not completely impervious to the elements. But for the foreseeable, it will do you fine.
Yeah, it's just, it's starting to get.
I mean, a seagull would still get in there because the seagulls are fucking juice heads at the moment. I don't know what's going on with the Dublin seagulls.
The fucking size of the bastards then.
Yeah, no, it's like GMO central. So the seagulls are taking over.
Yeah, so all adoption thing, folks say.
But I think I will send you that because that's probably a good way to keep the egg safe.
It's just winding me up now. Do you know that kind of way?
Yeah. Well, the other possibility is, it's your eternal enemy, the neighbour.
Wait till I tell you. In the gaff about a week ago, we're both in bed. We're all in bed. Me and Shane are in bed. It's about half 12 at night. Doorbell goes. I'm freaked out because, you know, the way. If you get a call or something late at night, you think your parents, you think something's wrong, okay? And Shane goes down to check. There's nobody there, but I see somebody driving away. So I'm proper freaked out now. Like, I have conspiracy theories up my fucking hall. But then it turns out, actually, that the doorbell is, well, I didn't find this out until about 5 days later. The doorbell is faulty and it just goes off every so often. Because I saw it go off one day and there was defo nobody there. But I thought it was the person who was slashing my tires. But it could still be. Maybe they throw in a red herring just to you know what I mean?
Well, you would think that, of course. I'm just quite envious of your optimistic outlook on life because I'm just can't forget about somebody ringing the doorbell at 12:30 at night. Somebody comes to the door any time of the day or night, I'm just presuming they're here to kill me. Even the postman. But that is probably because the postman is coming in and sitting on the side of the bed with us. He is just so gassed. P.S. Love the postman. But even Fred and myself were laughing the other day because he comes in through the patio and he'll leave it on the kitchen table and be having the chats with us. Lovely guy. But you know, some days you pop out and I might be in a t-shirt and some days you want to keep it breezy. There might be no nicks happening. I mean, it's one of those. And I'm I need to just make sure I now have pants on at all times because the postman is practically crawling in the bed with us.
But is he the kind of person who, if you found out, if you were watching the news and you see him and it's some horrendous crime, how shocked would you be on a scale of 1 to 10?
Do you know what? I'm just not shocked at all anymore. I just kind of presume everyone is capable of a horrendous crime. I don't know. I mean, then Fred was like, "What's going on here? Is this..." Because, you know, Fred comes out and I'm just chatting to the postman in the kitchen. He's like, "This is just, I mean, what's happening?" But he did go off for the night and he was like, "I presume you're going to get on to our old friend, Mr. Postman." And I was like, "I really..." You know the way, it's so funny, isn't it, how men perceive how you spend your time when you're on your own. I was like, my worst nightmare, when you're away for the night, Fred, rest assured, the last thing I'm going to be doing is having a hookup. Wouldn't that just be the last thing on your mind? Think of all the Netflix you can get in.
Oh, God.
Me and just then, you know, and YouTube. You heard then. When did you have this disturbance at 12:30 at the doorbell? What day was it? Last night?
No, it was probably about a week ago, but it was a midweek.
Which is even scarier. Yeah.
See, it definitely wasn't the weekend or whatever, because then you'd just be like, yeah, whatever.
Yeah, because I mean, realistically, like if the doorbell's going, you're like on a Wednesday, you're like, I'm dead in the bed, because sure, everyone's at home. Every normal person's at home watching the midweek movie. That's why, like, during the 90s, there was no crime happening on a Sunday night, because it didn't matter what kind of hardcore criminal you were at home watching a Yore.
Come here. What's the story with Dahi and his missus? Have you arranged a little couples get together now that things are easing?
No, I wish. But
celebrity friendship working out.
Well,
would you not pursue that? But for the profile.
Well, God, it would be great, wouldn't it? And well, I do love about Dahi. He is such a soldier. He'll always like the video, no matter how bad the video is, which I love about him. And I've noticed he's a real liker of people. Like, you know, the way he just goes through, he's like, doesn't overthink it. He's just liking everyone. So he's just such an affable guy.
He's doing what I do. He's just giving his phone to his kid and letting him stay.
So they haven't been on
just them pictures as fast as you can.
They haven't been on to since the incident at the Super Value, where we over explained why I was sitting in the back of the car and went to extraneous lengths to explain that Fred wasn't controlling. And then Dahi was just genuinely concerned about the cat when he heard I'd fed the cat all the ham. And it was just, nothing was hitting. We discussed that. You know, none of my jokes were fine, because Dahi's just such a lovely, earnest person. A great crack, like, but he was genuinely like, is the cat okay? And I was like, God, I can't. I mean, this is just, all my jokes are going wrong today. I mean, look, the double date hasn't happened as of yet. But I think it's definitely in the pipeline. I'm actually doing Dahi's show on Tisha Cahir, that one. You know, he does this little interview show. So I'm doing that the next week.
Watch all the time. What the fuck are you talking about? Of course I don't know the show on Gigi.
Well, look, of course you don't. It's like when I said Radhan Great Dan, everyone listens to, and you're like, what are you talking about? But, look, this is my claim to fame. This is my claim to fame. Yours is comment.
Just saying, I don't know what it is. I do it though.
Asher, look, Dapper Dahi, of course you're going to sit down and have the chat to them. And you know one thing I will say about his wife? I mean, she was so lovely and so nice. But one thing I have noticed about, I don't understand this, because I've very, very, one of my best buddies is second generation Irish. So, you know, the way she's obviously born in America, but her parents are Irish. And similarly with this girl, and I would say the same with Dahi's wife, it doesn't make sense that genetically they're the same as us. But something has happened. I don't know what it is, Emma, but their skin is iridescent. Their hair is amazing. And you're like, but this doesn't make sense, because genetically you should look like me.
Sorry, did they grow up in Ireland or America?
You see, this is it. Is it the products they were using growing up in the States?
The climate, baby.
Maybe the wind climate. And the hail.
The wind and the hail. The wind could like through you. It's no place for the old. It's the wind.
Yeah, you're right.
The hail.
Do you know what?
The war rain. It's the harsh rain. It's the hailstones. It's the fucking rain. We're basically getting fucked over by an ocean every other day.
Yeah, do you know what? Now, even as you say it, I mean, maybe the wind is knocking your eggs over and setting the doorbell off. Because, like, we are, yeah, you're right. Like, we're a country of extremes.
No, it's the birds are coming out. I'm not going to blame the wind. I think it was the wind on Friday. Like, were they really fucked over 12 eggs?
Beneath my wings. I'll send you that ceramic and it'll be all sorted. Well, because no,
they're better looking. It's just that they don't have the hail and the wind.
Yeah, maybe that. Do you know what? That could be it, because
In my opinion, you will never get, if you were to get a rugged Irish man beside a rugged American man, the rugged Irish man would win. every time.
Yeah, well, generally, I think that's probably because a rugged American man is somebody who has kind of given up on life to an extent and has gone to live on the side of a mountain and is kind of having a bit of a Bear Grylls lifestyle. Whereas a rugged Irish man is just basically any Irish man of a certain age, because none of them are wearing SPF.
I know.
They're like, I'm not, like, you suggest putting on some sun cream and they're like, whoa, okay. I'm a straight male, just so you know. Like, I don't know. Yeah, but your skin, like, everyone has the same skin. Like, we have the same epidermis. It's like, okay, no, thank you. Next, you'll be asking me to wear a pink t-shirt. And thank you, but no.
I've actually only started wearing sun cream every day.
Oh, stop, Emma.
Couple of months.
But would there not be a little bit in your moisturizer that you put on?
Oh, my God, Judy. Up until very recently.
You just can't wait for me to have kids and just actually get a bit of a reality check.
No, but this is nothing. Well, no, maybe it is something to do with kids, but I don't know. I was never an adult without some sort of a kid. I was never great at taking off like makeup shit, moisturizing my face. So I'm now at this ripe old age trying to make a conscious effort to look after my skin, but it was always terrible at looking after my skin. The only time I'd ever start looking after my skin would get some mad, like, you know, Mount Vesuvius on my chin and like hope that if I suddenly start taking care of my face, it's going to sort it. But I have to say that my skin is much better now since I've been eating healthier. That has made a huge difference to me. So it's obviously diet and whatever. But I'm only wearing sun cream every day now. In the last couple of months, I've finally gotten it into my heart.
Well, I think, I mean, I wouldn't have great skin. I mean, it surprises me now because you have great skin. So it surprised me that it's only the last couple of months. But I think
you see yourself. You have lovely skin.
Well, thanks, Emma. I don't blame your little plump cheeks now. Oh, you're very sweet. But I just, you know what it is, actually, with the skin.
What a fucking blemish, actually.
Oh, no, Emma, I get no. I generally... I would, if somebody had to describe my skin texture, I would say gaping would be the main thing. Like, a lot of gaping pores. But you know what it is? I think I always had a bit of a skincare routine. Nothing too, like... You know, too insane. But you know, that stems back to the fact that I had really, really bad acne when I was in primary school. Because we often talk about how Judy was this freakish woman child. I mean, yeah. Jesus, sure, I'm talking about the poor girl adopted in America with her big bush at age 6. I wasn't much further off. I was 9 when I hit puberty. But I had the worst acne when I was 10, when I was in fourth class. So then I think when you have acne, you kind of have to start in a skincare regime to prevent it.
Yeah. I didn't have acne now, but I would have definitely had breakouts at that age.
Yeah. No, I was quite bad.
But I don't know what is better. Well, no, not that I'd wish acne, but a friend of mine would have had a bit of acne, but she would have been able to like cover it up with makeup better than I would have been able to cover up the volcanoes.
What you do with the acne, you do learn the tricks of the trade. Like, I was pre-makeup, but I was just in time with my ginger cowlick. So I just cleverly used my ginger cowlick to disguise at least 50% of the acne. But then that brought its own problems because you have a ginger cowlick.
It's just a vicious cycle, really, isn't it?
It's just a vicious cycle. Come here, speaking of vicious cycles, we have to mention, because a couple of people messaged us about Big Arrest of the Week.
Brittany.
Oh, I wasn't thinking, I was going to say Ghislaine Maxwell.
Oh, yeah,
let's talk about Brittany.
I thought you said, I didn't hear when you said arrested. We'll talk about Brittany and some other stuff on the Patreon. Let's talk about this wagon. Because for the extra episode,
actually, a couple of people, when I asked for suggestions, said Brittany. This is pre the latest stuff. So let's do the extra episode on Brittany this week. Great idea.
We'll be a bit further down the line by the time we're doing that as well.
Yeah.
So you might have more info. But I was delighted when I can't credit the person now who tagged us. on Twitter.
Was it Bren?
Oh, maybe it was Bren. I think it was
Bren. Could have been Bren, yeah.
But I was delighted. So it's going to be interesting. And then I saw somebody tweeted, and I wish I could fucking credit this person, but they're like talking about her popping up in all these pictures of people. They're like, she's some weird sex trafficking Forrest Gump appearing in all these places over history. But I'm delighted for her now. I can't wait for this to unfold and see what happens now.
But you know what? In terms of the coverage, one thing that does annoy me is the way people keep banging on about, like, they keep kind of framing it as that his girlfriend, but also that she facilitated the paedophilic behaviour. Like, sorry, but she was an active paedophile.
Oh, yeah, that's exactly what I'm saying, that she's kind of... She was just
ancillary, that they're making out that she's ancillary. It's like, no, like, she was an active and still is, probably.
Yeah. Well, I think whatever he would have, like, you know, whatever he would have gotten, she should have gotten the same.
Absolutely.
Obviously, obviously it would be dependent on what deals were done or how much information that they were willing to give or whatever. But there's no difference between him or her.
None. And that is the one thing.
I don't know whether it's to do with defamation or what the dealio is, but I don't know whether she's just like, it is all a bit like, she just turned a blind eye to it, the poor little devil.
Yeah, well, you wonder, is it a bit gendered as well? And, like, I suppose, like, yeah, we kind of have to...
Legal thing, is it gendered? Is it...
Yeah.
Is it
it's very strange, like, how
are people are still framed. Scared of her, because obviously she's very powerful, so they're waiting until they are definitely officially told, like, she has been, you know...
Yeah, well, maybe they're being extra cautious.
I don't know, I'm hoping that it's a case of that they've been briefed by authorities or whatever of what they can and cannot say, or do you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
They should or should say, and not to, like, to interfere with the case or whatever, because obviously if there's going to be a jury, the person can always say, what is the word I'm looking for?
I read a couple of articles on The Guardian about this. And by Guardian, I mean Daily Mail.
Yeah.
Well, but I personally now, and I think I would speak for the vast majority of people, I think we've seen so many times how these trials, etc., play out. And, like, I think most of us would much prefer that the media, including the tabloids, of course, just be that extra bit cautious, because it's just so, so, so important for all these poor victims. Like, the fact that Epstein essentially eluded justice, in the sense that, like, he, you know, whether you want to believe he killed himself or he didn't, but he, like, those poor victims didn't get to go through a trial with him and have, I mean, I wouldn't say closure, but at least have some vehicle to talk about, like, how these things have affected the course of their lives forever. So it's just so, so, so important that she is put on trial. And I mean, I guess...
But you see, even though you, like, it's also important that she gets a fair trial.
You know,
what you say, you don't want anyone kind of claiming that... you know, justice wasn't done or whatever, or having any grey area.
Well,
there,
I think no matter how despicable the person is, like, they have, it's so important that these people get a fair trial, because if they don't, it undermines everything. It undermines a conviction, because they can, as you say, like, you know, just play that card of, oh, well, sure, I didn't get a fair, I mean, Harvey Weinstein's lawyers, that was a big thing, that, you know, it's trial by media and all that, and he's hobbling along. But I mean, it undermines every conviction if people don't, you know, get that. But I don't know, it is interesting. I wonder, will she squeal on Andy? What do you think?
Well, I don't know. I mean, because remember, obviously, we were saying, where is she? And the fact that it had all been...
See, the FBI listened to up to 90.
Obviously, but, you know, the way we were like, oh, it's all fairly... Nothing really seems to be going on. So they're obviously take it... Well, it would appear that this has been taking very seriously and it's been kind of, you know... treated like with caution is not the right word, but it's you'd imagine that it seems to be that they're going through each step
the right way
by the book to make sure that somebody gets it for this, like, so like somebody, like, obviously you'd imagine that there's going to be several people, but
I mean I know we've talked about this before, but you really, really would. I mean, you know, everyone had the tweet, so I'd say he's sweating now and all that kind of crap. But
yeah,
you would love, and like, I don't want to sound kind of hawkish about it, but I just feel just when he lied so blatantly about what that woman was saying, you would absolutely love now if just bit him in the arse.
Oh, yeah. I mean, I think everyone would absolutely love him to get it, wouldn't they? Oh, hang on, just give me one sec.
Of course.
Sorry, Tammy, that's you there. Sorry, I'm trying to do two things at once there.
I can't believe it. So you do have kids. Story checks out.
I do have kids. No, I gave them a bath this morning and they were like, where's our pyjamas? And I was like, they're on your bed. And where's our pyjamas? They're not. And I was like, oh no, I put them in the wash. So just testing them. But no, I'd absolutely love for him to get something. And sure, I know officially it doesn't really matter, but like, he's not a member of the royal family. He's not an active member. He's retired. So it'd be great now. What a stupid fucking slimy motherfucker he is. You'd love to get a real big boot, like a real bollocking up the hole, wouldn't you?
Just
like
a kick proper, up the fucking hole, yeah.
A real, just like fucking...
I think it was just, you must understand, I think it was just the way he thought we were all so beneath him intellectually.
I know.
Including like Emily Matisse. That I think it's that, just that extra layer of complete arrogance, aside from all the other overt arrogance, that you'd be like, oh God, wouldn't it just be great if she was like, you know what, fuck it.
Do you know when you see people, and I don't want to show her name into the mix here, but on a separate note, you know the way, like, say when you see the likes of like Beyonce or whatever, like when she was starting out. And obviously at that stage, she would have had some, you know, by the time she's doing like going over to Europe and kind of like trying to get a few quid there as well while she's at it, she's obviously gone through some media training and whatever. But then you see her, like, you know, as the years go on and she obviously has this huge wealth and there's loads of media training and she's getting prepped for everything and blah, 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 and is well prepared and all that. Like the difference in those people. But when you think of someone like Andrew, who has had access to that kind of, like, to those kind of facilities and minds and whatever his whole entire life. And obviously he knew that he was going to be doing that interview. He had a lot of time to prep. They weren't going to be covering any new stuff. He basically would have known every single question. And that's that he could do. And he's grown up in that. He's had that his whole life. And this has been that interview was a long, long time coming. And that's the best he could come up with. I just find that absolutely mind-boggling that that's what he came up with. Like, imagine that if you had, like, media advisors and whatever your whole entire life, and then you get to prep for an interview for, like, what, 10 months probably? Minimum.
Yeah.
Like, actually, for the D-Day, this interview, and you feck all else going on. Like, you're doing nothing. Like, you're seriously doing nothing else. You're not, like, clearing out the spare room or, like, oh, geez, the skip came this week, so I just got completely side. Like, you've nothing going on. And that's what you must have done. You're just like, what the fuck? Like,
It is pretty crazy. I know even his choice of words, unbecoming. And Emily's like, he was a sex offender. But I feel with Andrew.
It's entitled all that. But just how thick he is.
He's a very unintelligent person. I mean, he would be the type now, like, you say, oh, look, I let's go for a walk in the woods. I think, will we just stick to the trail? And he's like, no, I know better trail. And then you're clearly lost. It's a few days later. You're like, look, I mean, we can send help. Like, I can do an SOS. And no. It's just as in his level of arrogance. He obviously just presumes that he doesn't need, like, the irony of somebody who's been helped his whole life thinking that he doesn't need help.
I think that day when you and Fred went for that walk, I think he was just trying to have a bit of crack. I don't think he was trying to make out like that he knew better. And he did feel bad about he's getting lost.
Do you know what? People still want wheel out that one picture of the time myself and Fred went on the walk and we took a picture of it. We just don't do walks. It's terrible. And also, I think if Prince Andrew asked me for a walk in the woods.
I thought you were walking to beat the band.
Well, I walk on my own because I listen to my little podcasts. I'm getting really worried, like, the baby is just going to have a skewed vision of the world. Because the other way they say that, like, play music for it and stuff. And, like, all we watch together is The Wire. So I just feel like the baby is going to presume it's being born into, like, West Baltimore. It's going to be completely confused. But I did, you know, I shouldn't even talk about Prince Andrew. I had a nightmare about him the other night.
Oh, Julie, it does not even matter. If you think of when I had Ella, and Ella is highly intelligent. She has sporting ability. She has academic ability. She's very emotionally intelligent, all this stuff. Like, I think they big up the whole bump thing a bit much. Like, I'd say just go healthy.
Yeah, I mean, that's what I'm hoping for. But yeah, many hopes. Hoping that...
Oh, hang on, Joe is here. What do you want to say, Joe?
Is he trying to do my dog?
No, you can have a couple more minutes. I'll be up in a minute. Tell Tommy to get his jammies on, though. Take off the boxing gloves.
So cute. He's one step away now from his own YouTube channel, I think, Joe.
No, the funny thing, Joe is actually really into it, and he wants to set one up. And I'm like, okay, like, obviously I set up a private one from wherever, but he's making all these stop motion. Is it stop motion? I don't even know. Stop motion videos. They're actually
amazing.
Pretty cool.
Like. But you should tell him really to set one up for him, so...
I will. I'll set one up for him.
And Tommy can have an old cameo.
It's so funny because Tommy's like Mr. like showbiz, but he actually gets kind of like nervous then, you know, that kind of way. But it's just stage fright. But I will set one up for him, and I'll say to my brothers just so he can like, oh, somebody liked it or whatever.
Can I have access to the YouTube channel?
Yeah, of course. You can have access to it, yeah.
Oh, I'd love that.
Here, I'm just going to draw the line at that. But yeah, he's all into it.
You say that now. There's going to be a week and you've no video, and you'll be like, you'll just whack up Joe and tell me no problem.
He's not in the videos. He's filming. So I was like, you know, my cousin Daniel, who I do for, I was like, oh, so do you want to do what like Daniel does? And he was like, yeah. So I was like, okay, like the filmmaker, but he obviously doesn't know what the difference is between a filmmaker and a YouTuber, you know, that kind of way. I don't think he's thinking about that. Yeah, I love it. I'm going to start getting him to film my sketches, like, looks like. But,
but you see, you'd be around with your little tripod and stuff. So you see, all it's funny how, like, all these things probably register with the kids.
Yeah, maybe they do. I don't know. But he's, like, he's doing videos about Lego and Pokemon.
I don't have too much to say here, but I feel he has to broaden his content just a little bit. My Pokemon knowledge is limited. I'll stretch to the Lego. I'll watch the Lego one.
No, because he met up with his mate there the other day and they were talking about Pokemon for like a solid, I'd say, hour and a half, 2 hours. They were like 2 hours at the kitchen table, like gas bagging about Pokemon.
I love it. It's like us talking about anything, really. I was going to say Brittany, but basically anything. Come here, I'm going to read out 10 patrons very quickly. And I can't do the alphabetical order thing anymore, so I'm just going to go now in order of people who last joined. So I'm just going to do that because it's just easier. Okay, so the last 10. Here we go. The big 10. Okay, we've got Einish K, Emer F, Caroline S, Pia J, that's a nice name, isn't it? Pia J. Ali K, Selkie's illustration. Paula, one name only. Rob, one name only. Mairead M, Orla OC, Catherine B, Rosie, Carol, Megan D, Michelle K, and Shane OM. Thank you so much, guys. It means so much to support the podcast. You're just the best. $3 a month, 4 extra episodes. You can't argue with that now, really, can you? But it means so much to us and we really appreciate it. So thanks a mil.
And we don't want to put people under pressure or anything like that, but Julie wants to get an epidural. So if we could just dig deep.
Fingers crossed.
If we could please. You know, she wants to get a few bits from Marks and Spencer's. She doesn't want to have to get all the gear from Deals. So if you could just wouldn't that be nice?
Oh, it'd be so nice. And you know what? Because my little diabetes machine, the pins are going to cost me €27 a week.
It's not cheap,
please,
is it?
Guys. Yeah. No, please. I really need your help here. Okay. Thank you so much, Emma, for coming into my life. I've been Sheedy J.
I've been Emma Dorn. God bless.
This podcast is part of the Head Stuff Podcast Network.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Imagine the softest sheets you've ever felt. Now imagine them getting even softer over time. That's what you'll feel with Bowl and Branch's organic cotton sheets. In a recent customer survey, 96% replied that Bowl and Branch sheets get softer with every wash. Start getting your best night's sleep in these sheets that get softer and softer for years to come. Try their sheets with a 30-night guarantee. Plus, get 15% off your first order at bowlandbranch.com. Code BUTTERY. Exclusions apply. See site for details.